In our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, Junior Church is dismissed once the teacher gets back there. We'll work on that. Philippians chapter 2. Today we recognize the Bible readers for 2015, so we're going to take the time that we have this morning and look at the Word of God and some of its characteristics, some of the things that it calls itself, what the Bible is to us. And in Philippians chapter 2, we see the first thing this morning, that the Bible is called the Word of Life. The Word of Life. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Paul says here, holding forth the Word of Life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In verse 15, he talks about how that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The Word of Life. God's Word is the Word of Life. It is not only gives life, not only is it life, as we will see here shortly, but the Word of God is something we're supposed to live by. It is the Word of Life. Our life. It's supposed to be our guideline, our foundation, our compass, so to speak, for our life. As he says in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That applies to us, I think. We can say we live in the midst of one of those. It's a mess. So what are we going to do? How are we going to cope with it? What are we going to respond with? Living by the Word of God. This book is the Word of Life. And our lives should show that to the rest of the world. Matthew chapter 4. Remember Jesus when he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And in somewhat of an understatement, it says he was afterward and hungered. I get hungry after 40 minutes. 40 days and 40 nights. Oh. But verse number 4, after the devil came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus said, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live by the Word of God and not just certain parts of it. Every word. Bible says every word of God is pure, book of Proverbs. It is all good. The Word of God is for our good, and every single word in it will help us. We need to live by it, make it our life. Remember what Job said. He said, I have esteemed thy word more than my necessary food. The Word of God should be our guideline for life. Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses, in his last words to the nation of Israel, reminds them, verse number 46, he said, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day. He said, set your heart to it. And he says in verse 47, why? Deuteronomy 32 and verse 47, the Bible says, for it is not a vain thing for you to set your heart unto all the words which I testify among you this day. Why? Because it is your life. It is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. It is your life. The Word of God is life. The Word of Life. Remember John chapter 6, when Jesus tried to explain to the Jews in verse 63, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The Word of Life. And then 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of Life. The Word of God is the Word of Life. Not only does it give life, but we are to live by it. Are we doing that? What is it that the world sees when they look at our lives? Do they see people who are people of the Bible? People who follow what the Bible says? People who walk by faith, what the Bible tells them, not by sight, what the world around them tells them. We need to understand that there is no fabled middle ground here. There is no neutrality when it comes to this spiritual warfare. You are either allowing yourself to be conformed and molded to the Word of God, or you are allowing yourself to be conformed and molded to the world. There is no neutral ground. The world likes to try to make us think there is. That's why we can't have religion in Christmas. That's why we can't have religion in Easter. That's why we can't have religion in pretty much anything anymore, because that is too polarizing. We need it to be neutral. How has anyone ever stopped to think how neutral is Santa Claus? How neutral is the Easter Bunny? How neutral is all of these things that the world says are okay? This is not. And for how many years has Christianity gone along and said, oh yeah, that's right, yeah, we can't have that. Why? As I said this morning in Sunday school to the young people, if it really doesn't matter, if God really is dead, if God does not exist, and this book is no different than any other book, why does everybody get all bent out of shape when this book is trying to be introduced anywhere? There's a reason, because it's the Word of life, because it is the Word of God. It convicts. It makes a difference. It has an impact. And mankind does not like it. It does matter. Please, please, be sober, be vigilant. Understand that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are obligated to live by the Word of life, the Word of God. Not only that, but Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that the Word of God, it calls itself the Word of righteousness. The Word of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 13. Here, Paul is admonishing the believers here that they need someone to teach them again the first principles of the oracles of God. And he says in verse number 13, the reason why, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The word of righteousness. This book tells us what's right. This is why we live by it, because it gives us what is right, what is wrong, what pleases God, what does not, what is acceptable, what is not. In Psalm 119 and verse 123, the word of righteousness, another reason why this world does not like this book. Psalm 119, verse 123. They want to remain in their, quote, blissful ignorance and somehow think that they can get away with what they know is wickedness, all the while saying they didn't know it was wickedness. They know it's wickedness because the Word of God is spoken. Psalm 119, verse 123. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Maybe one of the reasons many Christians don't read the Word of God is because of this very thing right here. They too want to try to remain in blissful ignorance of what is right and what is wrong. They want to remain in ignorance in their minds so that they can somehow think they'll have an excuse and say, well, I didn't know that that was the wrong thing to do. I didn't know I shouldn't do that. You know. You know. Because Romans chapter 2 makes it very clear, God has given you a conscience. Man hates that thing, but it's there. That's why man hates his book. Because the book agrees with the conscience. And man can't stand that. Sometimes Christians can't either. But it's still the truth. This book is the word of righteousness. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verses 17 and 18. The word of righteousness. Paul talks in verse 16 about how he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And he says in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. There is no excuse. The Word of God is the Word of righteousness. It tells us what is right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Very familiar verse. This verse has been used countless times in this church. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Why is that? Because it's good. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All Scripture, no exceptions, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, or instruction in righteousness. You really want to know what's right? It's in the Word of God. That goes back again to maybe that's one of the reasons a lot of people don't like to read it. We still want to deceive ourselves and think we can remain in ignorance. There is no ignorance. We just saw that in Romans chapter 1. God has showed what is right to us. The question now is not, well, what is right and wrong? The question is, am I going to do what's right? Because now I know. The Word of God is the Word of righteousness. Not only that, the Word of God is eternal. Psalm 119, thank God for that. Psalm 119 and verse 89. The Word of God is eternal. If there is one thing that stands out in the history of this world to the truth that the Bible is the Word of God, it has to be the fact that this book has been so persecuted and there have been so many times where people have tried to get rid of this book and it can never be gotten rid of. Just study the history. There have been a lot of people who have had a lot of power and influence on this planet who have decreed that this book has to go. They're gone. The book's still here. The Word of God is eternal. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. And this is why. It's settled in heaven. It's not changing. It's not going anywhere. Verse 152 of the same chapter. Psalm 119, verse 152. Concerning Thy testimonies, I have known of old that Thou hast founded them forever. Verse 160. Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. The Word of God is eternal. Another reason why this world hates it so much. It wants to get rid of it. It wants nothing more than to get rid of the Word of God. And it cannot do it. And the more they try, the more solid it stands. And the more upset they become. Because they are confronted and condemned by the light of this book. How much more does God have to do to prove Himself? We have come to the place where there's nothing more God can do to convince man. Because of man's sinful nature, he's deceived by his sin. It doesn't matter if God showed up in person. This world would still reject Him. And if you don't believe it, just hang around till the end of the millennium. You'll see it happen. He will be reigning in person on this globe for 1,000 years. No problems. No sorrow. No storms. No national disasters. No terrorism. None of that. Absolute peace. The utopia that man has wanted for so long will be given them by Jesus Christ. They will enjoy it for 1,000 years. And after the 1,000 years, what happens? They all turn and rebel and try to fight against it. That's the problem with sin. That's why no one likes this book on this planet. But that's the exact reason why we as believers in Christ need to make this book our life. We need to read it to let it change us, conform us to the image of God's Son. Because this Word is eternal. When this heaven and this earth pass away, as we see right here, Matthew chapter 24. 2 Peter makes that clear. All of this is going to go poof one day. Everything here will be gone. Matthew chapter 24, verses 34 and 35. There's one thing that won't. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." They're not going anywhere. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. Word of God is eternal. That's why you can trust it, people. That's why you can build your life on it. Because it does not change. Isaiah 40, verse 8. "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever." Shall stand forever. The Word of God is eternal. God's not going to change it. It's settled in heaven forever. Not only that, but the Word of God is the Word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Reconciliation. Big word. What does that mean? That just means God has made it possible for man to meet His standard. You say, how did He do that? Through Jesus Christ. That's how. And the Word of God tells us that. This is the Word of reconciliation. This is the good news of the Gospel. That Jesus Christ came to this earth and took and fought Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because He did that, He shed His blood, He paid the price for our sin, He rose again from the dead, so that all we have to do is simply come to Him, repent of our sin, ask for forgiveness, and we are saved by the power of God because of Jesus Christ. The Word of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number, let's start in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. God, Jesus Christ was not just some great teacher. He was not just a prophet. He is God in the flesh. Understand that. That's important because Jesus said in the Gospel of John, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. It is not enough to say He was a good man. It's not enough to say He was a great prophet. It is not enough to say He was just a great teacher. You must come to the place where you see Jesus Christ as God, giving Himself for you. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Remember Psalm 103? He hath not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Because everybody in here, if they were completely honest, would have to admit that there is no way God has dealt with you according to your iniquity. God has been gracious. God has been merciful. Thank God He has not dealt with us according to our sin. He did deal with our sin. It just wasn't when we had it. It was when Jesus Christ had it. He's the one who suffered all the wrath. He's the one who suffered the punishment so that we would not have to. The Word of reconciliation. Word of reconciliation. Acts chapter 14. Just an example from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas. They went to Iconium and were speaking. They had the unbelieving Jews who were resisting them. But in verse number 3 it says, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. The signs and wonders were simply to verify that the word of God was the truth. The signs and wonders ceased. The word of God, eternal, is still here. And it comes down to this very fact, if you believe the word of God or you don't. If you choose not to believe God's word, then you believe man's word. One or the other. But why would you not believe a God who is willing to die in your place? How can you not put your trust in someone who proved His faithfulness and that He took your sin and made it His and then judged it while it's in Him so you wouldn't have to? How can you not trust someone like that? And on the flip side, how can you trust mankind? When has mankind ever proven himself faithful? When has mankind ever proven himself worthy of trust? You know, there's a reason why we have that very familiar saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. There have been very, 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 very few over the history of this nation, over the history of this planet, that have been worthy of any trust. And yet, how often are we willing to run to those who are the least worthy of our faith? And how sad is it that we never want to run to the one who has proven himself absolutely faithful 100% of the time? Well, how do we know? How do we know God is faithful? The word of reconciliation. You have God's word on it. It's called God's word for a reason. You have God's word. Well, I don't believe that's God. That's your problem then. That's your problem. How can I know God gave you His Word? Well, I don't believe that's God's Word. Well, the problem's not God's. It's yours. You have abundant evidence. You have all kinds of evidence. We don't have the time to go into the evidence. You have the testimony of nature itself. You have the testimony of history itself. You have the testimony of the Word of God itself. You have the testimony of the nation of Israel. Just tell me God does not exist. You might get somewhere with me if you can get rid of Israel. But the world's trying to get rid of Israel. It's still there. And it's not because of them, it's because of God. There are all kinds of evidences. Again, God can do no more. And even if He did, it still would not be accepted. It comes down to, do I believe God? Do I believe His Word? The Word of reconciliation. I don't know what else can God do. He gave Himself. By definition, that means He gave all. There's nothing more to give. And that's the point. Man will never be satisfied with all that God can give. Man will never accept all that God will show, because man is deceived. We need to come to the place where we see the Word of God for what it is, the Word of life, the Word of righteousness, eternal Word, the Word of reconciliation. Not only that, but that leads us to the next one, the Word of truth. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. The Word of truth. Many perhaps would voice Pilate's question to Jesus when he stood before him at his trial. Jesus tried to tell him, those who seek the truth. And remember Pilate's response, what is truth? What is truth? Yeah, spoken like a good politician. He's what he was, governor. And that's why I believe his question was sincere. Because in his mind it didn't exist. Because his whole life has been about lies, about buttering up, about flatteries, about gifts, about getting things for this and exchanging favors for that, and who do you pay off to accomplish this? That's his life. So in his mind, yeah, what is truth? What is truth? Isn't it sad that the truth was standing there looking him in the face? And never saw it. Never saw it. And how true today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. Paul says here, approving ourselves how? Verse 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By the word of truth. Ephesians chapter 1. I have a few verses here. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. The word of truth. Not the word of mostly truth. Not the word that contains truth. The word of truth. Ephesians 1 and verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Colossians chapter 1, just a few pages over. Colossians 1 and verse 5. Colossians 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. It's amazing how many people will say they believe in heaven and yet will not believe the book of Genesis. This goes back to every word of God is pure. You either believe it all or you can't believe it at all. It's the word of truth. That's what it means, the word of truth. You cannot pick and choose it. It's not the Hong Kong buffet. It is all or nothing. And by the way, if you choose to believe Genesis is just an allegory and it's not true, then you are calling Jesus a liar. Because He used Adam and Eve as the example for marriage, remember? You want to call Jesus a liar? You go ahead, but you stand way over there. I don't want to be anywhere near you. You're being a fool. It's all or nothing. The word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's either true or it's not. That's what it comes down to. And if you say, well, that's true. Oh, this part, I don't think that's true. Really. Based on? You know, this is a good question to ask on a lot of subjects. Just ask the question, based on what? Well, we know this is wrong. Based on what? Well, we know this is based on what? we know. Based on what? There's no foundation. There is no evidence. There is no reason. You want to study the history of those who do not believe the Bible? Go back to the thinkers, and I use that term loosely, thinkers who came up with those. Because it started with them. They didn't have evidence. They didn't have foundation. They didn't have a basis. They just didn't like it. And yet today, the people who don't like this book and say it's not true are basing their belief on those people's opinion. Man's opinion has never been an establishment of God's truth. Well, it's the truth because we believe it. No, it's the truth. Believe it or not, it's still the truth. The world's mentality on what I believe establishes truth is amazing to me. Because that's what most people, when it comes down to, that's what they have to admit. Well, as long as you're sincere, that's what matters. You know, my dad tried that with my grandpa, a veteran of World War II. He said, as long as you're sincere, that's what I believe that matters. And Dad said, well, Dad, Hitler was sincere. Didn't make it true, did it? He didn't like that, by the way. But it's true. Because you're sincere, somehow that establishes it as true? No. That has no bearing on it. Whether you believe it or not doesn't change truth. The Word of God is truth. End of discussion. You don't like it, you don't believe it, fine. Again, the problem is with you. It doesn't change the Word of God. The Word of God is true. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. This addresses the subject of God showing Himself to mankind. If He would just show Himself, then I would believe. Well, you have the nation of Israel's example on that. That didn't work. As I said, you will have the example of the millennium, and it won't work. Here we have 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. He talks about they didn't follow cunningly devised fables. They said they were eyewitnesses of His Majesty, speaking of when Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration was transfigured before them. In verse 17, He said, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." Here is Peter's conclusion in verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." In other words, this book is more sure than hearing the voice of God. You ever notice how many people are following voices today? Way too many. The problem with following a voice is you can't really verify where it comes from. And if it's truly God's voice, then it's going to line up with what this book says. Because if it starts deviating from what the Bible says, then it's not God's voice. And this is why God gave us this book. It's a finished word. It's done. There's nothing more for God to say to us audibly. Everything that He needs us to know has been put in black and white, in writing. I mean, that's what everybody wants now. I want that in writing. I want that in writing. Well, you got it in writing. It's right here. It's in writing. Well, I want to hear a voice. See what I mean? It will never be enough. Man's sin nature will never have enough to believe God is real. Won't. But it doesn't change the fact that this book is the truth. The word of truth. The next one is word of power. Word of power. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. The word of power. See, how do you know it's the word of power? Go out in public and start speaking it. It has power. It will get a reaction. Some may like it. A lot won't. That's powerful. Hebrews chapter 1. Speaking of Jesus Christ, verse 3, "...who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Remember Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "...for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's a big reason why a lot of people don't like the Word of God. Because you can cover intentions up with good deeds. You can keep your intentions hidden and make people think one thing by your actions and your words. You can't do that with the Word of God. This book cuts right to your heart. It lays it wide open and exposes the nastiness that we're trying to hide from everybody else. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No other book can say that. That's why so many hate it. Because this Word is powerful. You remember Genesis 1? God said, there was. Think of that. God said, there was. Remember on Sea of Galilee, the experienced fishermen who were convinced they were about to die because they'd never seen a storm so bad? Three words. Jesus said, peace be still. And what's the next two words? And immediately. Immediately was calm. Immediately it was calm. That's power. The same person speaking this word comes from the same source. Why is it the Bible says the stars obey His command, and yet Christians struggle so much? The stars do exactly what He says when He says. We, however, seem to have issues. We seem to struggle with the Word of God. Why? It's powerful. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God will change your life if you're willing to be changed. This is a powerful weapon, which goes back to, again, make sure you know how to use it. Because just like with any other weapon, if you don't know what you're doing, you can hurt a lot of people with it. A lot of people have been hurt by the Word of God being taken out of context. A lot of people have been run through, so to speak, by people who are using the Word of God while having the wrath of man running their mouth. This is a powerful book. We need to make sure we know what we're doing. We need to make sure we know what it says. And we need to understand that the Word of God will change our life. Word of power. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Look at it here. Hebrews 11, 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. What power! So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Word of power. Word of power. And then finally, this morning, one thing maybe that's one of the most important. The Bible calls itself the Word of Faith. Word of Faith, Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, beginning in verse 8. The Word of Faith. Why does the Bible call itself the Word of Faith? We shall see. Romans 10, beginning in verse 8. What saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of Faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of Faith. That's what it comes down to. Remember Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, he says, the just shall live by faith. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, the word of faith. A lot of people like to use this as their excuse to get hung up on trusting God and believing the Bible. Well, it just requires faith. You just want me to believe. We just saw in Hebrews chapter 11, if you read the first two verses there, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. This isn't a blind faith in something we hope might be true. This is a belief based on evidence. Evidence. And by the way, why would you continue to give more evidence to people who already have a boatload of evidence and refuse to see it? Because that's the problem. There's all kinds of evidence that God is true, His Word is true, that God is real. All kinds of evidence. But when you ignore the evidence you have, you're not going to get any more evidence to look at. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, the Bible says, to Him, Jesus Christ, give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2 where Paul talks about it pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching. Because man's wisdom became so great, through man's wisdom they refused to know God. God said, fine, I'll use preaching. Because it all comes down to simple faith in Jesus Christ. It all comes down to simple faith that God is true, His Word is true, and I need to simply humble myself and accept what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 4, just a couple more verses. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. Paul tells Timothy here, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Nourished up in the words of faith. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. I love this verse. It's a wonderful verse. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Now notice what he says. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In you that believe. Do you believe the Word of God? And I'm not just asking for the usual flippant, yeah, I believe the Word of God, yeah, I believe God's Word. No, do you believe? Is this the Word of life to you? Are you in it every day? Trying to guide your life by what it says. Is it the word of righteousness? Are you concerned with knowing what it says about how to live, not only how to live, but what is right, what is pleasing to God? Do you understand that this book is not going to change? Jesus Himself said, this is what will be used to judge mankind. This is what stands forever. Do you see that? Do you understand what that means? The impact of that? The fact that the Word of God is eternal? Have you seen that this is the Word of reconciliation? You're wondering how you can be right with God? You're wondering how you can know God and not be in condemnation? This book tells you. Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. Do you see it as the Word of truth? Or are you too busy standing above it, criticizing it, and trying to pick and choose? And say what is true and what is not. God's already done that job. He doesn't need your help. It's true. End of discussion. Do you see it as the word of power? Do you come to it with that humble, contrite spirit that the Bible talks about that will allow God to take His word and change your life? How many people are stuck in drugs right now? Who cannot seem to get out of it. Why? This is the main reason. They don't want to see what's right and they will not humble themselves and allow this book to change them. They want a quick fix without the change. There is none. You need the change that can only come from the Word of God, the Word of power. And have you seen it as the book that you can trust? Do you believe the Word of God? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every head closed. Again, maybe.